Good morning. My name is Chris Struble. I've known Berkeley Conkling since he was very small. His parents, Chris and Erica, were some of the first people we got to know at East Shore, as they lived only a few minutes away from us in Renton. I would often talk to Erica on the bus on our way into work. When I learned that I would be Berkeley's mentor, I was very excited. Berkeley is quiet and thoughtful, but insists he is not an introvert. He just enjoys hanging out with his close friends more than going to big parties. To relax, he enjoys listening to music, reading, and playing video games. He also plays the drums. His favorite book series is Randoms by David Liss, and his favorite video games are Dark Souls 3 and Overwatch. Yeah, some of you have heard of that, I think. I was delighted to learn also that Berkeley is an actor. He has been in several theater productions at school, including James and the Giant Peach, and is currently in a comedy called The Trials of Robin Hood. He is passionate about equal rights and treating people fairly. Those values play an important part in his credo. I am proud to be his mentor. Please give it up for Berkeley Conkling.
I am Berkeley Conkling. Being a very strong believer in human rights, I sometimes have a hard time finding positive in the world with all the conflict going on. I'm not sure how to be positive or what positive impact I'm making. So when I'm really down or have a negative look on the world, I will think about my values and what is important to me. I will go over some of my values of all people are legal, equal treatment for all no matter what sex, skin color, or sexual preference. Everyone should have food, water, and a safe and good place to live, and everyone deserves a chance. Once I think about those, I think about what I do and what our world does to use those values to improve the lives of others. In my life, I try to do things that are part of those values. For example, a couple of times a year, I go to a homeless shelter with my family and cook and serve a hot meal. Thinking about these things can really bring some positivity to your view of the world. I have changed a lot in my life, and parts of my life have really affected me in the way I view the world and my values. When I was 10, my dad came out as gay and my parents got a divorce. This was very difficult for me because it caused me to have to go to a new school that I wasn't used to and was a very rough school. The new school I went to was a lot more diverse, and now when I look back on this, I realize it really made me see more than I had before of how people of other genders, sexual identities, culture, and skin color are treated. After that year at that school, I went back to my old school with a new outlook. When I was back at my school, I made lots of friends that are transgender, pansexual, and gay. These people really made me see that you shouldn't assume what someone identifies as based off of their physical appearance. So now, if I don't know someone's sexual identity, I will ask the person, what do you identify as, or what are your pronouns? I have also gained a more advanced outlook on what people call mental disabilities. I've always believed that people with so-called mental disabilities should be treated with the same respect I treat other people. But in this coming of age group, there have been discussions on mental disabilities, and I've come out thinking that there isn't something wrong or weird about someone that has, for example, Asperger's or autism or even ADHD. Those people just have a different way of their brain working. All of these things have really affected me as a person and have led me to become an even more inclusive and accepting person than I was. Thank you for being here and listening to me talk.
Good morning. My name is Arthur Knapp, and it is my honor to know and to learn from Kaylin. Kaylin Wilwine has a sunny disposition. And he's enthusiastic. Some say that humans are storytelling animals, and Kaylin is moved by stories, so much so, in fact, that he will share one of his stories today that he wrote for us. He's an avid reader of the Dragonlance series of books. He is now adept at fighting off evil in the world of Kryn. We're there. Someone knows what we're talking about. There, humans, elves, kender, dwarves, gnomes, and minotaurs roam among dragons and the gods. And there are hundreds of these books. This diverse world of fantasy shows up in Kaylin's earthly life. He plays the game Dungeons and Dragons, He performed in a local production of the musical Beauty and the Beast, which I had the pleasure of seeing, and several of you did too. Plays drums and is in two different bands at school. And boy, does he know how to swing. He has played here on a couple of occasions. He, at East Shore, has learned that Unitarian Universalism is grounded in beliefs where we act together to strengthen our spirits, encourage and support each other, and contribute to the betterment of our communities and the interdependent web of life. I, for one, look forward to seeing Kalen continue to grow and to bring his insights and energy to his community and our congregation. Kalen, the congregation is now ready to hear your credo, and we all congratulate you upon completing the Coming of Age program.
So as Arthur has said, I have written a small little story. It is actually a fable. So, once upon a time, there was an owl. He was happy, especially as owls go, doing the normal things. Flying out, hunting at night, eating things at night, talking to his friends at night. All of his life, this owl had been asked, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" or "What do you believe in?" This, of course, made the owl confused. How was he supposed to answer such a general question? I mean, he knew what he believed in, but the question covered so much, it was hard to pick the best parts, but keep the conversation going. One day, this owlet went to the wise old owl, or woo, as some called him, on top of the wise old redwood tree, or wart, as some called it, and asked him, "Oh, wise old owl, I'm always being asked what I believe in. I know what I believe in, but how can I keep things short yet sweet?" The wise old owl replied with, "That is indeed a good question, young one. For you see, most ask me the best routes to and from work, or what should I make the kids for dinner, but you ask me about important things, spiritual things. The key is to only tell them the main points that you believe in, then if that starts another conversation, keep it going. Now, tell me, young one, do you believe in the general goodness of all people, that anyone can be a good person if they only put in effort?" The tiny owl responded with, "Yes, I do." "Do you believe that everyone should be given a chance to reach their true and full potential?" "Yes." "Do you believe that if people put in effort, the world can be a better place and that everyone matters and in the inherent worth and dignity of every person?" "Yes, I do believe in all these specific things." The wise old owl turned to the outlet and said, "Those are some of the things that you believe in, yes? That everyone can be good, that they can make the world a better place, and that they are worth being here with us. Then that," he said with a wink, "is what you tell people. You're smart and kind, so this should not be that difficult, now that you've been given help. Sometimes that is all anyone needs to succeed." The young owl thanked him excitedly before flying off to tell his family. Now, the little owl believed more than just that. He believed that just because people were different doesn't mean that they were bad or worse than us. He believed that if you put good and positive things and thoughts into the world, that is what you will receive from it. He believed in life after death, and that those people who did wrong things were just misguided, needed some help. He believed that while the world can be cruel and judging, that there were people who made it that much less unforgiving. People who helped others, who cared enough to stop and ask, "How's your day?" or "You look sad, can I help with anything?" People who loved and were kind. He knew that life is not a race. It's not a popularity contest. It's a journey, one to be appreciated and shared with others and those you love. He knew that life wasn't working your days and years away nonstop, never taking a break, stopping to breathe, or even smile. That it was slow-paced yet fast, frantic, hectic, crammed, calm for some, explosive, dangerous, exhilarating, beastly yet beautiful walk, like down a beach, or waterfront, or in a forest, or wherever you wanted it to be, because he knew that life was what you made it. Work is good, and so is play, but so is rest. The owl believed so much, but sometimes we don't need to tell everyone everything, though on rare occasions we do. Life is a twisting, long yet short, tiring and energy-giving hike, or just a leisurely stroll for some. You know how people say stop and smell the roses? Yeah, well, you don't need to have roses where you are. Stop and enjoy the scenery. Stop and take a break. Maybe watch the children play while you do it. The owl believed in all of this, and he knew all of this. He had potential. Everyone does. And so he told his family, not just his birth family, but the people at his place of worship, the people at his school, all those he cared about, and who cared about him, his true family. That owl is talking to them this day about it, for you see, I am that owl. I believe that everyone is worth it, that they can be good, and that this can, and that they can make this world a better place. That they are entitled to their opinions, that people are not inherently anything aside from just people. I believe that life is a challenging walk. I believe that the people we need to be around are the people who make us feel like we matter, like we are worth it. Because we are. We're all good. We're all worth it. We are us. And that's exactly who we should be.
And I have the privilege of being Nikki's mentor. Our coming of age journal this year is called To This I Give My Heart. And this describes Nikki in everything he does. I first met Nikki as a youth here at East Shore, who was always willing to jump in and help whenever I needed him, either to walk someone to the restroom, to put away the Play-Doh, whatever happens in a preschool room. I enjoyed his happy demeanor and the joy he brought into any room he entered. Then I got a chance to sit and talk with Nikki and work with him in coming of age. And I met a different Nikki. He still had the same joy, but in learning what he faces in his day-to-day life, his joy became more precious. Conversations with Nikki became teachable moments. Teachable moments where I was the student. Each conversation with this amazing young person makes me think and challenges me to make sure that I am being my true and best self. I'm excited to see what life will bring to Nikki, and I'm excited to see what Nikki will bring to all of those who he still has a chance to meet. I present to you today, Nikki Woolwine.
There's always a routine. Get up, get dressed, eat, get out, off to school. But not today. For today, something happened that would change the atmosphere for days. First period is banned, happy tunes being made, a pleasant march, then the texts come through. Are you okay, they say, and I reply, of course, what's wrong? A student is dead, they reply. And a lightning storm hit me full force, knocking me back and stopping my heart. As I look outside, most students are already leaving school, just like my classmate from us. The rest of the day, I was a wanderer inside a lonely ghost town. After classes were done, in which nothing was present but silence and mourning, I hugged as many friends as I could and surrounded myself with their love. Later that night, a vigil was held at his parking spot at the front of the school, and we lit candles and we told stories and we remembered him by the good things he had done. Even those who didn't know him at all were there, and we stuck together. I stood up in the middle of that parking space, and I said, he is still with us in spirit. Even if he may not be here physically, he is still here in spirit. And that is true for all. This is what I've realized. Life is just a stage. After death, there is more for us. More experiences, new challenges for our souls to face. There is a reason for our existence. We'll live life to the fullest, and our spirits will move on, but they'll always be here with everyone else every step of their journey. This experience has taught me many things. Everything will be okay. We will always fly on, and we are strong. Life is always filled with twists and turns, its ups and downs. Yes, it hurts, but no matter what, we will push through, all of us together.
Hello, I'm David Kapler. This is the second time I've been honored to be a mentor, and it's a real privilege this year to work with Logan. I was a teacher for 35 years, mostly in middle school, which I get a lot of sympathy when I tell people that, and junior high before we did the switch to middle schools in this area. This program, Coming of Age, I want you to think about where that fits in your life and in their lives. It's a time when you can really mess up your life, or you can set a direction that will be very positive for your life. And we've all seen those kinds of things happen to kids not much older than we have here. Logan has been a pretty amazing kid that I've talking with him about his planning for the future. He's into the running thing in a big way, but we also talk a lot about being a teacher. I got to ask him about what classes he's taking and all of that kind of stuff. And he's very thoughtful about his future, and thinking about the classes he's taking at high school and how that will work into his future life. But just something on the running. He does a lot of research about how to run a marathon and how to train. A couple Sundays ago, he left here, ran over down to Richards Road, went to the south side of I-90, ran to Seattle, then didn't go through the Mount Baker Tunnel, but went down to along Lake Washington Boulevard to Seward Park, and then from Seward Park ran over to the light rail station at Columbia City, caught the light rail to University of Washington, caught the bus to the park and ride in Redmond, and because the bus schedule is limited on Sunday, his dad had to come and pick him up. So that's the kind of person I got to work with, and it gives me great joy to have done that and to know the future is in good hands with kids like Logan. Thank you.
I'd like to tell you all about something that has snowballed into what is now a significant part of my life, running. I started running around last summer after finding a video entitled Seven Ways to Maximize Misery, which gave a thorough, detailed, and entertaining guide on how to make your life as miserable as possible. Obviously, this prompted me to head outside to get some exercise, and I chose to run. This became a bit of a habit over the summer and led me to sign up for cross country when the school year started. We train almost every day and have meets where we'd race a 5K once every few weeks against other schools and such. Cross country had me go through some very difficult training and tough workouts, and in hindsight, I realized that this very well prepared me for my post-cross country running, which is when I tried running further. In fact, one day I decided to go out and run as far as I could, questioning whether or not I'd be able to make it 8 miles. I ended up running about 13.1 miles, the length of a half marathon. So I decided that I should get into longer distances. In November, I signed up for a half marathon, which would be in March, and set my goal to run that race in under 2 hours. For training, I did a long run about once every week with a few shorter runs sprinkled here and there. It ended up being a fantastic race, with my time being about an hour and 53 minutes. I was satisfied with that time. I've been training for the Seattle Marathon, which will be in November ever since. Now, it's easy to think, why would someone run? Who has any fun running? It's exhausting, it hurts, it's tough. Why would anyone run? These are all good questions. I used to ponder them when I was running on my own after cross country until I came up with a few answers. One is that it makes me feel mentally satisfied. I've never regretted going for a run. I've never ended a run and thought, man, I wish I hadn't gone on that run. I'm always glad I did. Also, I can point to running and say, this is what I'm doing with my life. I'm not one of those people who waste all their time in their room on social media or whatever else without doing anything meaningful with their life. Finally, and most importantly, I realize that I'm not going to be able to do physical exercise for my entire life. When I'm in my 70s and 80s, I won't be able to run at all like I can right now. And the last thing I want my future elderly self to do is to regret not having taken advantage of the physically best and most able part of his life. As long as I keep running, my future self will be able to say that he took advantage of the time that he had. Thank you.
Still not taller than her. Hi, good morning, I'm Sunshine. And the first coming of age service that I ever witnessed was about 11 years ago when we lived up in Bellingham. And I saw these youth that I barely knew because we had just started attending the church go up with their mentors. And it was a really powerful experience for me because I was a heathen growing up. I didn't have any religious education at all. And watching these youth come up with credo statements, thoughtful credo statements that were driving them ethically and morally, was an experience I wish I had had as a youth. And I thought as I sat in the pews, I want to do that. I want to be a part of a church where someone asks me to do that. And 11 years later, Claire approached me and said, "Will you do that? I know you're super busy. I know you're working and you live 40 minutes away from church and you're in a play right now, but will you do that?" And I said, "Yes." Yes. And we have made it work. With my crazy schedule and our distance, we've Skyped, we've had lunch together, we've had a lot of really great experiences. It was a very huge honor to be asked to be Francis's mentor. I did write a few things. I met Francis for the first time when I directed her in the Christmas pageant. And I don't know how many years ago that was now, but I was completely surprised, not just by her enthusiasm, but her willingness to step up. We had students that decided not to do the pageant partway through, and Frances said, "Yeah, I'll take on that role." And she would come the next week with lines memorized. She took her job very responsibly. I was wholly impressed with that. As I've gotten to know Frances on a more personal level this year, I've noticed that she and I have a characteristic trait in common, and it's the thing that I think we both love about each other, and that is we have charisma. We have charisma, and we have energy, and we have a lot of both of it. And I think we've both experienced what it's like to have different reactions to that level of enthusiasm towards life and whatever we're doing. Yes. I have appreciated, especially when we had our overnight at our coming of age, watching Frances do these activities that someone her age could have had a really negative attitude about and brought that experience down a notch. And instead, Frances was the one that had the most enthusiasm about our activities. And her smile and her positive energy made it fun for me, and it made it fun for the rest of the group, too. And it was just a joy to watch her be that common thread that brought everyone together. Frances has had a lot of challenging relationships in her life, and I am very also surprised at her maturity and the way that she has learned lessons from those challenging relationships and come out on the other side as a more solid person who knows herself really well. I don't think I was that kind of person at her age. I think I was still floundering. And to know a young person who's so sure of herself and so talented, it's just a real honor. We are so privileged as a spiritual community to have youth like this in our congregation. I hope that you get to know Frances the way I have gotten to know Frances, And I think if you do, you'll feel like I do, and that when you grow up, you want to be just like her. I don't need this. Okay. Hi, I'm Frances. That's the way I used to introduce myself to nearly any stranger that I would meet. I've always been very open and friendly, and that has helped me become who I am and shaped my relationships with other people. Some of you may remember me from the youth service a few months ago, but I didn't really get into depth about who I am. As an introduction, I would like to start off with a few things about myself. I love books and sunny days and music. I love acting and singing, and I also love being with my friends. And I love laughing and going on adventures. On top of all of that, I love coming to church and being with the amazing community we've made here where we can share what we believe in. According to our Coming of Age Journal, credo is a Latin word that literally translates to this I give my heart. While talking with the amazing and wonderful Sunshine Glynn, she helped me come up with 5 core values that I can give my heart to and demonstrate with my actions. The first thing that came out of my mouth when she asked me what I believe in was justice. I believe that everyone should be able to live their own life through the consequences of their actions rather than being automatically punished for things that they don't have control over. I've been raised in a family that believes heavily in justice and equity, and that is part of the reason why I live by this particular value. I tend to demonstrate this with my everyday life, and although it annoys many people at my school as I hold them accountable for their actions, it's better to be annoying than silent about things that matter. I've attended marches and flash dances in the past, and I intend to do more in the future. And one thing that I'm super excited about is that regarding this topic is that next year my friend Michaela and I are going to try to go to the school board with a PowerPoint presentation and argue for the boys' bathrooms to get install disposal for menstrual products in order to be more inclusive for transgender boys. In addition to this, I believe that authenticity is a very important part of existence, because existence is so much less enjoyable when you aren't being true to who you are and what makes you happy. If I had said this 2 years ago, the hypocrisy would have been like a slap in the face. I used to care so much about how others viewed me that I would say things that were against my values and wear things that I didn't actually like and act and talk in a way that made me sound like the popular kids that I wished to be. Once I got to high school, I came to the realization that being popular really wasn't what mattered at all, and I actually really wouldn't want to be around those people and all of the social pressure anyways. I've had a lot of experience with manipulative relationships, which have impacted my desire for authenticity in myself and the people that I'm close to. My next value has to do with our first Unitarian Universalist principle. This principle is the hardest one for me because it often conflicts with the first one I mentioned, or the first value. It can be hard to remember that every person has inherent worth and dignity when I see someone being unjust. In my life, I find it very important to have empathy for every person and remember that everyone has their own life and their own struggles. In order to have a strong argument, you have to understand the other viewpoint. My penultimate value, that means second to last, I learned it by my math teacher, is positivity. Anyone who knows me has probably noticed that I tend to find the positive side of things, and I'm usually laughing or smiling. I do have my negative moments, but overall, I'm a pretty positive person. Being happy is what I live for, and there are many things in this world that make me happy. I also find it a lot easier to not dwell on things and to remember that things will all turn out okay. This is not always a good thing, though, because I'll sometimes think, oh, I'll do great. I don't need to study for that test. I bet you can guess how that one turned out. I used to think about the things that I wished I could change about my physical appearance, when I start to think negatively about myself, I just remind myself
that the people who would judge me for something so superficial are not the people I would want to be around anyways. One of the things that makes me very happy is the power of word and music. I love to listen to songs and analyze their figurative language and meaning. Being the music nerd I am, I find it fascinating how certain chords and note progression can make a person feel. Songs are my favorite type of poetry because you get both the power of literature and also the music. On that note, I know you've heard a lot from me, but bear with me. You may have noticed that it says in your order of service that I will be singing a song for part of my credo. The song is called That Green Gentleman, and it's by one of my favorite bands, Panic at the Disco, which happens to be part of what us teens call the emo trinity, which kind of contradicts with my last paragraph. I thought it would be fitting because it's about change and how it's okay to grow and learn. And with that, I hope you have enjoyed hearing the first part of my credo, and here goes.